That being said, we're thankful you are here to continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount called The Mount. I need you to let you and two other people know. How about that? Let yourself and two other people know God's word is true. 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 That's what we're going to think about today. That's the big thing. That's a big idea we're going to have today. And what we're going to be reminded of today is God's word is true. And if it's your first time getting to hang out with us, or you're watching us online for the first time, we're so thankful you're here. What's great about the technology and the time that we live in is you may be watching this 100 years from now. I don't know. Yeah, somewhere in a galaxy far, far away. I don't know. That being said, wherever you're watching right now, we're thankful that you are here, because we're going through these next few weeks, and as we're getting ready for Easter that's upcoming here in just a few weeks, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And it's one of Jesus's most well-known sermons, and it's probably one of the most often quoted sermons. Even if you didn't grow up in church, the golden rule comes from this. You know what the Sermon on the Mount is. And the thing is, though, it's often misinterpreted. It's often used as a way to continue an excuse to live in a lifestyle that is not the one Jesus came to give us. Usually whenever somebody does that, turn the other cheek, you know, so that they can hide their own sin and pain and try to judge you with it. And that's not what Jesus brought this message to us for. So we're going to unpack that, unravel all of that. We've gone through a lot of Matthew 5. We're going to be continuing in Matthew 5. That's right, continuing in Matthew 5 all the way through. One more time, Matthew 5 is where we're going to be. So that being said, we are going to be there and continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. And today what we're going to be learning about is my word is my bond. My word is my bond. And as we've gone all the way through, as we talk about my word is my bond, and we've gone through this Sermon on the Mount, this is a shocking thing that Jesus is teaching, because it goes against everything that we want, against our nature, against our natural state. And the thing is, all of us look for truth, do we not? And that's what we're going to unpack today. As a matter of fact, we'll bend the truth to make ourselves look good, won't we? Absolutely. Like, I will airbend the truth, right? Like, I will do it. I want that little T truth. I want just enough. I will do capital T, lowercase R-U-T-H. Just enough so that it's enough. And so when I say my word is my bond, all of us went somewhere. All of us go some places. Some of us today, when I hear that, you think of someone that's a person of integrity in your life. Somebody who always kept their word. When we hear that, my word is my bond, that's something that we hold on to. That's something we cling to. That's something that's great for us. Some of us today, when we hear my word is my bond, we may go back to a time and a place where we have gone back on our word. Maybe we stretch the truth like those Thanksgiving pants. You know, it's just a little bit too much. And some of us today, when we heard my word is my bond, we thought about that person that hurt us because they didn't keep their word. And the truth of the matter is, all of us will let each other down. All of us will do that truth and search for truth. And the truth of the matter is, none of us can keep the truth except Jesus Christ. And that's what he's going to help us unpack today. Because truth matters, especially with our words. If we want to live a life of integrity, we want to live a life that has character, we want to be a trustworthy person, our words matter, and then our follow-through must follow our words. What is it that you say? You walk the walk and walk the talk, if it is, right? Like, you walk the talk, right? You do it. Talk the walk. Walkie-talkie. No, that being said, we talk, but we walk it. We have integrity. And church, that's what Jesus wants for each and every one of us. So he's going to teach us today to not only speak the truth, but live in the truth that is him. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in oaths. Not oaks, oaks. It's going to be Matthew 5, and we're going to be in verse 33. I'm just going to keep saying it because this is great. Matthew 5, verse 33. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one free for the asking. Go take asking, free for the taking. You go take that. If you don't want a Bible, I like to do things physically. If you see mine, it's all marked up. I'm going to tell you, in this house, you can mark things up. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Circle, highlight, do things in your Bible. If you like to do things digitally, as we just talked about a few minutes ago, you can follow us on our Vine Church app. Got all kind of crazy good stuff, but there's a note tab in there where you can keep notes, email it to yourself, email it to a friend, follow along with all the scripture with us. But wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, Zach Cameron and our Vine production team is going to make sure you can see the scripture on the screen. And I don't know why others aren't excited. I am too, because sometimes I mess that up. So that being said, I'm thankful that the scripture is going to be in front of you. So if you are at Matthew 5, chapter 33, and you're ready to receive this word of truth that God has for us today, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. It says this in verse 33. We're going to start in verse 33, and then we're going to go on. It says this. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. Imagine if this is the world we lived in. No need for contracts. None. Do you know why contracts are so long? Because somebody found a loophole. Right. Somebody's got to be paid to find. Everybody wants the boilerplate clause. Well, guess what? It's boilerplate until it gets broken and the loophole's found, and then you got to have another one. I work in contracts all the time in real estate. I don't write them. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a lawyer, so I want to make that clear. But I do have to deal with contracts. And I will tell you, sometimes the Paperwork Reduction Act, if you ever go to close on a house, the Paperwork Reduction Act is supposed to be two or three pieces of paper, and it's a folder. And they say, yeah, but before it was a binder. What good is that? Why? Because somebody found loopholes. Somebody went around it. But imagine a world where we could have that. Because here's the thing. Jesus came to bring a people together that are trustworthy, that can follow through. They do keep their vows. They speak the truth. They know the truth. And they walk the truth. And that people is you and I, church. Church is supposed to be a place of integrity. Church is a place of character. Church is a place where truth is not only sought, it is found. It's not perfect. We aren't perfect. But what it is all of us pursuing and living in the truth of Christ together to help others find it. More important than ever before in the world we live in. The reason I like Jesus diving into this is, believe it or not, what he is speaking about is not found in the Old Testament. You can make a stretch that this is the ninth commandment in Exodus 20:16. You can look that up later, but the ninth commandment is do not give a false testimony against your neighbor. This isn't what Jesus is talking about. He's actually talking about something deeper. This is a rabbinic teaching. Now, if you remember, we talked about the Talmud a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about how the Pharisees keep 600 plus laws and all this. This was the added upon that they put upon God's word. Not just the Ten Commandments. This was the going above and beyond. You keep your oath and your vows to the Lord. Now, I know this sounds crazy because this doesn't happen in our time frame, but believe it or not, the religious leaders spoke this but continued to try to find loopholes to get around it. They would swear on their pet, on their mother-in-law, on their grave, on their dinner, on their child four generations down, and not follow through because they would say, you know what? I will swear on oath to the entrance of the temple that I will do that. And they would renege on it and say, but I didn't swear it to the Lord, so it's okay. Now, I know that that doesn't happen in this day and age, and that's a shocker to you. But the truth of the matter is, I think it continues to happen today because it's our human nature, isn't it? We just want to do just enough to get credit for it. See, the context of the time, we have to understand that why it matters and what Jesus is talking about when he talks about oaths is at the time Jesus is giving this, people couldn't read or write. By the way, if you're a skeptic of Jesus Christ, the only ones who could were the people who were priests and they were in the church. But today I want to tell you, if you're a skeptic of Jesus Christ and you hate the church, guess what? When you go to the hospital today, you can thank Jesus Christ and his church. When you read and write today, you can thank Jesus Christ and his church. When you hear about humanitarian aid, you can thank Jesus Christ and his church because there was no other place, no other religion that did that. It is the church that brought that to the masses. So today, whenever you've got everything you've got against a church, just understand the reason you and I can read and write is because of that. So when Jesus is talking that, people would speak on oath. And what would happen is when they spoke out something, they had to follow through with it because their word was their bond. And when they were on oath, they were locked in. This is why when you go to weddings, you hear in front of God and these witnesses, do you say I do to this covenant to be in this marriage? You are supposed to be locked in pursuing the Lord together. That's why in court, when you think our court system wasn't set up upon the church, as you stand before witnesses, you give a promise to tell the truth in front of other people. in front of witnesses. Your word mattered. It was the only thing that mattered. Your spoken word mattered, because it wouldn't matter if you could write or read, because no one else could do it. So it was treated as truth. So what Jesus is showing us is, even though the religious leaders spoke that they were going to do something and they didn't follow through with it, he has come to follow through with it. He has come to be the truth. He has come to fix it. And he's about to show us how he's going to fix it. But church, let's talk about this for a minute. Before we go forward, how do you and I live in this calling that he's talking about? This calling, he says in Matthew 5:33, he says, "Do not break your oath or your promise, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you have made." What does this look like simply for you and I? We're the same tomorrow, which is Monday, as we are here today. There is no separation from church and work on Monday morning. We're the exact same. And when you hear pastors say that, all of us mess up, all of us screw up. Don't get me wrong. We're all going to fight in the parking lot about where you want to go to lunch and all that crazy good stuff. It happens. But the reason that we'd say that is because God himself is one. He's whole, is he not? He's totally unified. He's one. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is what you and I reflect, his truth. The same yesterday, today, and forever. We're the same person on Wednesday that we were today here in church on Sunday. That's why, church, you and I, what Jesus is literally saying is what Paul wrote to the church in Colossians. Colossians 3:23 says that you and I work as unto the Lord, not unto human masters. We live for an audience of one. That's it. We've been talking about this a little bit on Thursday nights, and this came up the other week. We've been in our Fundamentals of the Faith study, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And we've just been diving in, just been getting deeper into God's word. But long story short, without going too deep into it, one of the things we talked about with the Holy Spirit is one of the ways we flee from sin is because we know we're dragging the Lord into the sin with us. What do I mean by that? Because God is with us always. So if we're going to go lie, if we're going to go cheat, if we're going to go steal, we're dragging the Holy Spirit in there with us. God is going to see that. And just for me, I don't know about you, that's like being caught by your parents doing something you weren't supposed to. Just in my love for God that much, in my pride, I don't want to do that. I don't want God to see me doing that. He saved me from doing that. I don't want to drag him into that. Think about that for you and I. What are we dragging God into? This truth that we aren't keeping. Where we're not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because the truth of the matter is, those, you and I, here in Christ Jesus, we say it all the time and we mean it. You and I are fully known in him. There ain't nothing hidden. Whether you sin or not, there ain't nothing hidden. He knows it all. And I don't know, I'm grateful that he knows it all. Because it means, you know what? I ain't got to put on a show. I ain't got to have it all together. Because it wouldn't matter if I did. I can dress it up. I can't put lipstick on this pig. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to matter. He knows. And that's great, because I can be real with him as I seek the truth. And you know what? That's what the world's looking for, something to be real with. In the New Testament, in John 4, remember Jesus meets the woman at the well. And in verse 39, he says this about Jesus. He told me everything I ever did. That's awesome. That's awesome. You get scary about that, but that was her witness. Now, it didn't say how long Jesus was at that well, but I'm going to tell you, it would have been more than the noonday sun for me, son. It would have been probably a good week. We would have had a festival of everything that I ever did, I'm sure. Yet he loves me enough and he loves you enough to be able to save us. Think about these two words. I'm going to say this, and so kiddos, don't use this against your parents, because you failed this too. And parents, I just want to say this, so I want to leave it here. When somebody says the word, "I promise," what does that mean to you? Even when they pinky swell, right? You know what it means to me? They ain't going to do it. Like, did you take the trash out? I did, I promise. It's overflowing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know. Okay, I promise, I promise, I promise. When you hear that, I want to say this to you, and this is what I mean by that. We all fail on that. This is what Jesus is talking about, our oaths. I promise I'm going to do it. I promise I'm going to do it. And every time I do it, I forget. I promise I'll go take you to do that. Crap, I forgot. Lord, forgive me. Let them forgive me. Now I got to make up for it. Now I got to go even deeper, right? I want you to think about the person of integrity in your life. The person that you hold up with the highest character, how often do you hear them say, I promise? In my life, I never heard it because their life was lived to say, I promise. They didn't have to say, I promise, because they just did it. They followed through. Their life was a picture of the truth of Christ. They followed through on their oath. They didn't have to keep saying, I promise. They didn't have to write a promissory note. They literally followed through on it. And so the thing for you and I is, we want to be that person, but let's be real. We want friends too, right? I'm going to calm down with this. This is what I mean. Do you like my new haircut? Husbands, don't look at your wife. Wives, don't look at your husband. She knows where you sleep. I'm just saying. Truthfully, what do you say? Car's running. I got to go turn it off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you like my news? Okay, so this is bad. Do you like my new buzz cut? No, I don't. I don't like that. I don't like that. That doesn't work. Your summer do. That's great. No, I don't like that. That's not right. This is what I'm getting at. The problem for you and I is we want friends, so it gets a little complicated. So let's talk about what Jesus is talking about really here, because he's talking about two things, okay? He's talking about an oath and a vow to the Lord. There are two things he's talking about. And there's a difference between being polite and keeping a promise. Now, Jesus isn't telling you and I to sin, but hear me out, because I'm going to go somewhere with this. And this is where the Pharisees kept screwing it up, okay? So a promise, keeping a promise, which is what we're about to read about here in a moment, is where your yes is your yes and your no is no, as James 5:13 or James 5:12 reminds us, where your yes is yes and your no is no, wherever you are with that. And so that being said, what happens for you and I is when we break that, that is perjury. That is a violation of the ninth commandment. That is giving false testimony against your neighbor. That is a lie. That is against that. That is perjury. We perjure ourselves because we did it. We went against our promise. Now that being said, because of that, there's another thing that's called being polite. And that means you're just not putting the full truth out there. How do you like my haircut? It's a haircut. You just didn't put it all out there. I know, husbands, I get you in hot water. Wives, you know, listen, she knows where you live the other way around. Like, I'm just saying, that was a simple example. There's many others I could have used. I could have used outfits or could have used cooking or anything like that. I didn't. Our projects, I just said, you didn't put the full truth out there. So when we break a promise, we commit perjury. But when we're not polite or we go against the social norm, that's called profanity. We profane that person because we're not telling them the full truth. So either we break a promise and commit perjury, or we break politeness and we profane that person, we demean that person, we put them down. The issue is the religious leaders were promoting profanity over perjury. And this is what I mean. They would say this, you know what? I'm a cheater. I have no character. And you know what? I'm a bully. But at least I'm not stealing and coveting from my neighbor or his wife. See, Jesus didn't die and rise again for us to be perjurers or profaners. We're not called to live in either or, but we like to. And the problem is, even in our politeness, sometimes we can miss out on sharing the truth of the gospel. Now, hear me out. Like I said, we like to have friends. So sometimes you may not want to tell the full truth, but we're supposed to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Jesus is going to teach us how to live this and show us how we can live this in the following verses, in verse 34 to 37. And he says this, those four words that we are to follow all the way through in the Sermon on the Mount. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. Don't make a promise, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head. You cannot even make one hair white or black. Jesus is saying, he's saying the hair dye ain't natural. I'm just saying. That's what he's saying. You can't do that. Not in our own strength. It takes something outside of us to do that. But this is the key. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. That's sometimes hard, right? How do you like my haircut? Yes. Like, I don't know. That sometimes can seem hard. But Jesus is giving us a template that we can live by to be able to be people of integrity. Sometimes, yes, there will be something more involved with a yes or no. But if we want a life that follows him, that shares the truth wholly, it simply just needs to be yes or no. He's showing us that when we do that, we have a life of character. And why does that matter? I can say yes or no because I speak it, right? Yes, no. Yes, my body language can do things, but yes or no matters. Jesus is saying our word matters because his word matters. John 1:14, he is the word become flesh for us. He was there in the very beginning, right? And we are representations of his word, and his word is truth, and our lives speak to it. So he's saying you and I as kingdom people, as followers of Jesus Christ, should be able to share his truth, to share his word with integrity. When we show the world that we are trustworthy, church, it's how we reach a lost world. Now, somebody right now is listening and you're watching online and you haven't come to church. Say, that's why I don't come to church. It's a bunch of hypocrites. And this is what I say to people when you say that. Or that church is awful. Or guess what? That church is just this and that. And I say, guess what? We got seats for one more. We got one more seat for a hypocrite in this house. We got it saved for you because we're full of them. None of us will have this figured out until we get to heaven. Jesus is working that out of us. But the truth of the matter is you and I with our hearts that seek him wholly. And when we do that, we will share his truth. When we mess up, we can stand up with integrity and say, you know what? I messed up. Please forgive me. And as we do that, we'll be able to show the world him like never before. And he says again, simply yes or no. That scary part is the second part of that. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. I want you to think back to the garden in Genesis 3. God didn't leave any quandaries. He said, don't eat from this tree. That's it. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? Don't eat from it. Yes or no? Answer is yes. So he did say that. What did Satan do? He added to it, right? Did he say that you can't do that? Certainly he won't kill you. Can you see how that can be you and I when we have the truth and we want to wriggle out of holding accountability to ourselves? Well, I had this going on. Like, you don't know the 17 things I was juggling this week. Like, yes, I know I said I was going to do that. And I know you had a deadline. I know that it was supposed to be met. And I know I should have let you know beforehand. And I should have just been there a bit. But you know, I had blah, 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 blah. We all do it. Jesus is saying, cut it out. Just say, you know what? I know I let you down. Let's figure out how I can make it up to you. That's a person you will follow into a battle right there, as opposed to somebody who's going to give you every excuse as to why they couldn't do it. Jesus is saying his kingdom people don't do that. We don't add to his words. And so it made me think about this. When we add to something, usually, all right, so we may or may not have attorneys, but I'm sure there are some listening online in attendance, but most would tell you, keep your mouth shut. I'm thankful for a country we have the Fifth Amendment. It's fine. Because in the Fifth Amendment, I can trust the Sixth Amendment's going to happen and my due process is going to work out and I can see that I won't have to be double jeopardy and have that go rocking and rolling because I didn't have to worry about my Fourth Amendment rights being violated. I'm just going to shut my mouth and plead the Fifth. I don't care what you take from it. It's up to you. I'm going to shut my mouth. Simply yes or no. When you go to a stand, if somebody's going to lead you, they're going to tell you yes or no. Answer yes or no. It's that simple. Don't go above that. When you go above that, there's too much that left for interpretation. Leave it alone. Shut your mouth. How much easier is that when we live a life like that? It doesn't mean we can't talk to people, but do you understand what I'm saying? It shows that our yes is yes and our no is no, but the reason we add to it, church, again, I believe is because just like Satan, we like to lie, don't we? We like to become the victim like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve never took full responsibility for their sin. Think about it. Adam said Eve told him to do it. Eve said, the snake told me to do it. Neither one of them took accountability. They never did. And until Jesus came, you and I truthfully couldn't take full accountability for our sin because none of us could ever be perfect and be able to be in a right relationship with God for it. So let's think about that. Why in the world then do you and I lie? And it's about control. Is it not? See, you and I lie because we think we can write a better story for our life than God has written for us. That's why we lie. We think that the story we are pinning for ourselves, the dream we are pinning for ourselves, what we want to do is better than what God has in store for us. It's what Adam and Eve did. See, for you and I, the reason this matters is I believe in the time that we live in. This is why I'm not against technology. I'll say that. But this is where AI will crush someone who doesn't know their Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. Control. Because they will think that is a God. And it will give them the truth that they want to seek. But the problem is this. It matters who wrote the code and the program to give you that truth. And you will naturally, in your own thought process, get the one that gives you the desired result that you want. And you and I want the path of least resistance. We want comfort. You and I want salvation without the cross. We do. But it can't happen without the cross. It can't happen without the empty tomb. And so Jesus is saying, so understand this for you and I, as you and I aren't about controlling a narrative, we just simply have to say, this is my yes, this is my no, and we don't always have to give the why. The why is Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Doesn't mean that we can't add to it or go from it, but Jesus is saying, if we want to live a life of integrity, it's literally yes or no. And so for just a moment, I want to give us a chance for a yes or no. I want to take just a few minutes. I want to talk to the people online for a minute, but I want you to look across maybe in your section, and I want you to ask the people with you how you can pray for them this week. So take a moment and do that, and then I want to tell you what we can do with that. Can you do that? Do I need to do the Jeopardy music? Just ask them seriously how you can pray with them, all right? You do that with me for a second, okay? For just a few minutes. Just talk to the people on your row. Say, how can I pray for you? Seriously. If you're watching online, I would love to know how we can pray for you. I would love to know what we can do for you. I would love to know how we can not only pray with you and for you, I would want you to know that the reason that it matters here at this church, every week we have things that go on online in our church. We have this past few weeks, we've had over 100 prayer requests submitted online. And as people here are following through on that, the reason we'll talk about it as we're doing it as a church is that's what the main part of church is. See, prayer as us getting to find out what God's will is for our life. Prayer is something we do in community. Jesus promises in his word, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. And right now there are people who are in valleys that are struggling, and maybe that's you online and you're listening. We want to walk with you through that, and we want to just celebrate Jesus leading us through that. But also there are people, again, that are on mountaintops, and we want to celebrate and praise in that. Those people are finding out from each other how they can pray for each other, and they're working for that. You've heard me yapping the whole time. I'm going to take a moment to say this. Everyone can just bow their head. We're going to pray for a minute. And silently, I want you to pray for that person if you didn't do it right there. So, dear Jesus, right now, there are many requests, known and unknown, spoken and unspoken, that were just given. Right now, I pray that in your house that the veil was let down, that everyone maybe that's just struggling with something, just laid it out there. And they just said, hey, there's nowhere else to go but the people of God, because I know the people of God are going to seek God, and I need them seeking God with me so that way we can know what his will is for me and what he is doing as he is walking with me through this season. So Jesus, we lift all those prayer requests up to you. Jesus, we thank you that you've already answered them. You've already written the story. You already know how this is going to go. Right now, our fear, right now, our anxiety, right now, our stress for those things. And right now, the season that we're in, maybe because we've got something important going up with school. We've got something important coming up with job. We've got something important coming up with relationships. We've got something important coming up financially. We've got something going on relationally. Whatever that is, Jesus, you've already written it out. You're leading us through it. So I pray right now that the scales would come off of our eyes and we would see you clearly in it as we have lifted each other up in prayer. And I pray, Jesus, we would just feel your peace surrounding us. We would know that you will bless us and keep us. Your face will shine upon us and be gracious to you, to us. And you will lift us up with your countenance and give us your peace. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do, church. You talk to everyone, someone around you. This week, when that person comes to mind that you just prayed for, shoot them a text and let them know you prayed for them. Can you do that? Let your yes be yes. It's hard. I do that sometimes too. People tell me to pray for something, and if I don't do it right there, I'm not going to lie to you. It ain't going to happen. So sometimes you might need to text me back. Hey, I don't know. I didn't feel that prayer. Did you get to pray? Crap. I got double prayer. Like I got to do something, right? Really, let's follow. Let's be a church of integrity that does that. Let's let our yes be yes and our no be no. But there's no better place to come into the house of God and the people of God to follow through with that. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to open up some doors through that. And the reason that I know that is his word is true. God's word is true. See, the hope that you and I have is Jesus went to the cross for liars, sinners like you and me, who can never truly figure out the truth. We distorted the truth. We wanted our way. We wanted to be superheroes and live eternally on our own accord, in our own way, with our own toys, in our own house, and in our own lives, getting exactly what we want, the lottery dream house with no work. But the thing is, sin only had one destination, and that is death, because it is anything but truth. Sin will distort your view of truth so much, it will make you believe you are doing okay and you will figure it out, only to lead to death. And see, God loves us enough, and Jesus became that sin for us so that not only we could know the truth by him living his perfect sinless life for us, that each and every one of us could live in his truth by his death on the cross, paying the fullness of our penalty of sin on the cross, dying for us in our place, and rising again on the third day. That we know his truth, live his truth, but he rose again so we could share his truth. My question today is, what truth are you living by? Are you living by your own truth? Is it all about perspective and this is my view of God and this is what he, all paths lead to God? Don't. There's only one who came that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that is Jesus Christ. Today, are you going to keep searching your way, trying to find your truth, trying to do your thing? Are you going to finally surrender to the truth that is Jesus Christ? Because Romans 10 verse 9 and 10 reminds us of the truth that is Jesus, his promise of truth. It is declaring his truth, that he is who he says he is. And this is how salvation happens for you and I. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. It is us believing his truth and declaring his truth that he is Lord and Savior of our life, that there is no other way salvation, but that there is no other way to the real truth, the capital T, capital R, capital U, capital T, capital A. See, for you and me, the sin and lie has that little letter in the middle, I. But for Jesus, in the middle of truth is you. He came for you and me. Will you trust him today? Dear Jesus, we're about to have a moment of invitation, and I just pray that hearts would be open. But right now, with every head bow and every eye closed, we're about to say a prayer of salvation, declaring Jesus' truth for our life. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And here at the Vine Church, nobody prays alone, so we're going to pray this prayer out loud as a Vine fam, as we just did a moment ago. So would everyone please repeat the words of this prayer of faith out loud after me? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time that you have decided and given and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if for the very first time you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are living in the real truth, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three if the first time you've done that. One, two, three. If you're in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're online, you can raise a hand. You can shoot us a message. We'd love to hear from you. And the reason we want to hear from you again is Jesus came not just so that we can know the truth, but live the truth and share the truth. And the best way to do that is in a local church near you. We would love to get you connected with a local church. We'd love to invite you to come hang out with us. But also, maybe there's one that's closer to you we would love to get you connected with. And for the rest of us, if you want to go ahead and stand up, we're going to continue in this moment in worship. And if you want to stand up as we get ready to worship, my prayer as we go into this time of worship, as we can give Jesus the praise that he deserves for being the truth for us.
I will sing praise.
We can celebrate that truth, right? The Lord is good always. So what are we supposed to answer with, church? One of two answers. What? Yes or no. That's it. We don't want to add to it. Yes or no. That's what we're supposed to do. But let's go live out that yes and no in Jesus' name and show how in him it's always yes and what, church? No, right? Yes and no. I've been yes and amen. Amen. Y'all have a great